I'm going to start a new series this morning, something the Lord laid on my heart a while back, and I decided to do 2 Timothy first. It's actually kind of cool how the Lord works things out. We make a lot of different choices, and I just wanted to go over this morning, making excellent choices. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians, if you would. I wasn't going to mention it, but on your sermon outline, it says Philippines. Sorry, it was one of those weeks. Philippians 1, I'd like to just read a couple verses here before we get started. Let me just open in prayer. Father, I just pray that you'd open our hearts today to your word. I just pray, Lord, that we would hear what you want us to, Lord, and that we wouldn't shut you out, and that we would obey you, Lord, in what you show us to do. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 1 verse 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." I wrote here, all of us routinely make choices that have a great impact on our lives and on the lives of others. These choices actually determine our success in our Christian life and actually in the future of our lives as well. I have been told the best planning begins with the end in mind. But if you think about it, how many of us really think when we're making decisions what it's going to cost us down the road? I wrote here, so if you desire, your desire is a fruitful relationship with the Lord and a future of joy and fulfillment, we need to plan for it today by making excellent choices. When we choose obedience to the Word of God, and make conscious choices to daily submit our lives to the direction of the Holy Spirit, we are shaping ourselves for God's blessing, whether you believe it or not. It's really true, folks. It's nice to have God's blessing. Because when you have troubles like this come into your life, I know God is in control. And God has a plan for all this. Someone said to me, maybe someone at the hospital needs to get saved. You know what? God has a plan. Are we willing to do what God asks us to do? I am, and I'm going to tell you why in a little bit here. I wrote here, we live in a culture that caters to our choices. Think about it. I had Starbucks here boast about the slogan, "Create your own drink," but I looked that up, and that ain't true anymore. They've got a totally different slogan. But for years, Burger King has encouraged, "Have it your way." And then Baskin-Robbins, as you well know, offers 31 different flavors of ice cream for us to choose from. We like our options, and we enjoy the opportunity to choose our preferences. You know, if you think about it, the opportunity of choice is one of the special features God has created within us. He made us with a free will, and he gives us the freedom to make our own choices. I'm studying Genesis 1. I'm planning on doing 1 through 11 in my devotions, my personal devotions. And you know, Adam and Eve had a choice, and they made the choice. And you know what? God has given us that. He's given us a free will to make our own choices. Some choices we make are simple, like which flavor of ice cream to choose at Culver's. I like those choices. Raspberry is my favorite. Or what color of shoes to wear to church this morning. Other choices, however, are life-changing, like how we will respond to adversity or what importance we will give our walk with God. Choices such as these will be the topic of this series that we're doing, and probably the next 12 weeks. All of us routinely make choices that have a great impact on our lives and on the lives of others. I said that earlier, but it's the truth. These choices actually determine our fulfillment in the Christian life and our usefulness for Christ. First of all, if you're following the bulletin's outline, I'd like to look at the power of accumulated choices. The power of accumulated choices. Have you ever attempted to do something that you really didn't know what to do? And have you ever had opposite results than what you would hope for? Have you? I couldn't think of anything in my life. I just couldn't think of anything. So I said to Jeannie, she said, what about that wall your dad built in the basement? Like, that's a good story. That's a good story, because I learned as a young man early. When I was a teen, my dad decided to put a basement under half of our house that did not have a basement. He hired a backhoe to come in and dig the basement out. That was very interesting to watch. That guy dug down about 10 feet, and then he reached under the house with a backhoe and pulled all the dirt out. Very, very interesting. He did a fine job. But it cost my dad more than he had thought. So he decided to pour the cement walls himself with my help. He made the forms. We put the forms up. They looked beautiful. It's looking at cement forms, I thought, boy, these really look nice. This will work. And he even made a little chute in the hole up there so when the cement truck come, he could put the chute in the chute and put the cement in the wall. And the guy did it very slowly. He came, he had a little button, and he was outside, and he pushed it a little bit. My dad would yell, and he'd stop, and we'd spread the cement around. And it got to be about a foot from the top, and it went, boof, up through the floor in the house. The forms went. My dad just went to the bedroom. He never said a word. But the guy who ran the cement truck said, man, he said, you better spread that cement out because if that hardens the way it is, he said, you're going to have a mess down here. So I spread the cement all over real thin because I knew Dad would say, you got to bust that up and carry it out. And I did, very willingly. And about a week later, it might have been 2 weeks, my dad hired a carpenter to come in and help us build forms. And then my dad decided he rented a cement mixer. And him and I mixed the cement, poured it with a 5-gallon pail down that chute until that wall was full. It took us a long time, and that's why I had the good muscles that I had. Anyway, I learned that sometimes it's better and cheaper to hire someone that knows what they're doing, and that's the truth. But you know, just as ignorant or foolish a choice in a project leads to an undesirable outcome, so each choice in our lives lead us in a direction. In the end, our lives will reflect the series of choices we make. Many folks go through life without pausing to consider where each decision they make is leading them. Years down the road, when they find themselves in a place where they don't want to be, maybe spiritually, emotionally, or relationally, they often blame bad luck, and I've heard many people blame God. God, it's your fault. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, each choice they made through the years brought them to where they are today. Unless we make conscious decisions to choose wisely, we will base our choices simply on what looks best to us at the moment. As a result, our lives will end up in a mess, not at all the picture we had in mind when we started. On the other hand, if we daily make well thought out choices, the accumulated result will be beauty and balance. It'll certainly be different. We will explore together the power of choices. That's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We'll examine at least 12 choices that directly affect our walk with God and every other aspect of our lives. But before we go on, I want to consider how to recognize and select the most excellent choices, which brings me to point three on the outline, the guides to excellent choices. Have you ever felt bombarded with choices that you didn't have the clarity to even think? So many choices that you had, I felt like that this week. So many things going on that you didn't even really know how to think. We constantly have multiple sources of influence pulling for our attention. And sometimes they even conflict with one another. You ever got lost because you had been given the wrong directions? Well, navigating through life is challenging, especially when we have gotten the wrong directions. You need to be careful, folks, where you're looking for your guidance. Because you know what? If you get the wrong guidance, it's going to lead you down the wrong path, and you're just going to end up lost, pretty much. Because there's so many options and so many sources who claim to have the answers. But thankfully, and I praise the Lord for this, God has given us two infallible guides to direct us that will direct us in the most important choices of our lives. Point A is God's Word. God's Word. You knew I was going to say that, right? I was going to put pastor there to make you laugh, but it's God's Word. Popular psychology and human reasoning will tell us to map our lives by what feels good. They encourage us to just follow your heart. The problem with that advice is that our hearts aren't reliable. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When we follow our hearts, we may feel good about the choices at the moment, but we usually find ourselves on a road that leads to an unwanted destination. Our hearts are fickle, unstable, and untrustworthy. God has given us a much better guide in His Word. His Word never changes, and its dependability has been proven through the centuries. We may map our lives by choosing to obey. When we map our lives by choosing to obey the direction of God's Word, we will not only be spared the harm of our own ways, but we will be happy, and we will enjoy the journey. As we learn to apply God's wisdom and truths from His Word, we enjoy the richest blessing of God along the way. And that's really true, folks. This is what a proverb says about wisdom. I don't know if you want to look it up with me. It's Proverbs 3, 17 and 18. Proverbs says, Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The choices God asks us to make are to our benefit, for both today and for the future. Let me just rephrase that. The choices God asks us to make are to our benefit for both today and for the future. If we were to consider these areas through our own reasoning, we would come to very different conclusions, one that would be self-serving and self-destructive. The scriptures we will look at contain the very promises and directions of God for our lives. As we get to know God's Word and grow in our understanding of His principles, we develop a spiritual discernment for our choices. And that's really true. Let me just read Philippians 1, 9, and 10 again. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Praise the Lord for that. Do you hear my tooth whistling? It's the funniest thing. I'm trying not to laugh, but that hole they put in there, my tooth whistles. I'm not whistling at anybody, sorry. If you don't hear it, that's fine. That's fine. Just thought I'd mention it. The second infallible guide to direct us is the Holy Spirit. Just hours before Jesus was crucified, he promised to give his disciples an amazing gift, the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 tells us, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away," Jesus is telling his disciples. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God himself, the third person of the Trinity, took up residence within your spirit. Ephesians 1:13 confirms this. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." That's how each one of us was saved. It says, "In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You know what? When you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in to live within your spirit. And you know what? You're sealed unto the day of promise. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. One of the Holy Spirit's many ministries is that of guiding us through his word into the paths of truth. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Isn't it amazing how God has designed these two guides to work in perfect balance in our lives? The Holy Spirit actually inspired every word of the Bible. 1 Peter 1:21 tells us, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So the indwelling Spirit of God takes the very words which he inspired and, as our personal teacher, explains their truths to us. Not only that, but as we learn to recognize his voice, we will sense his promptings within us to obey and follow the choices he has directed us to make. Let me give an example. I can learn through the pages of Scripture the importance of using kind, encouraging, and edifying words. But in the pressure of daily living, I sometimes forget. Many times, however, I have opened my mouth to say something I would later regret. The Holy Spirit has gently reminded me and warned me not to say something. On other occasions, he has prompted me to give encouragement or uplifting words to someone else. Sometimes when no one but God knew that they desperately needed encouragement in that moment. Two good examples. The best part of all is that the Holy Spirit becomes our divine companion and our friend. Through the very process of listening to and following him in right choices, our relationship with him grows and strengthens. God was good to give us these two guides. He really was. His word and his spirit. These guides will never contradict one another. They never will. I have folks tell me that they have reasons why they don't obey God, and God's word will not, the Holy Spirit will not contradict God's word. He never will. And he will never lead you to do something that goes against God's word. So when you tell me you're not obeying God because of this and God's word tells us to do it, you're disobeying God and you're actually living with sin in your life. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in a minute. Let's look at verse number 4, the future of today's choices. If you were to plan the perfect day, What would it include? It's all kinds of things. I wrote here, sitting in a boat on a nice cool day with Gene fishing. That's the perfect day for me. I didn't have one of those this year. Perhaps you've noticed that the perfect day rarely happens. So often, our best laid plans get distorted and even changed. We can plan, and we should. But on many days, it seems that life is out of our control. Circumstances bigger than us can hinder our carefully ordered schedules. Decisions made by people higher than us supersede our agendas. Sometimes we believe that the future is determined by our unfolding circumstances. We think our tomorrows are dictated by the outcomes of the relationships and agendas of those around us. But you know what? The future is not shaped by others as we assume it is not. Although many circumstances are out of our control, our future is not determined by our circumstances. It is determined by our choices. Choices we make today. Each of our tomorrows is directly affected by today's choices. I don't know if you believe that or not, but that's the truth. Do you want, if you're taking notes, number A, a fruitful walk with God? Do you want a fruitful walk with God? When we choose obedience to the Word of God and make conscious choices to daily guide our thoughts, words, and actions by God's truth, we are shaping a future for ourselves of unparalleled blessing. Our most significant blessings come in the form of relationships. And actually, the relationship, a walk with God. We'll have a walk with God. How's your walk with God? Do you have an intimate relationship with Him? Making excellent choices of truth develops the most satisfying and sustaining relationship possible. And then B, if you're taking notes, the blessings of God's promises. The blessings of God's promises. Another blessing is that through making godly choices, we are trying ourselves to be the unbreakable promises of God. No force on earth can wrestle from our future. No force on earth can wrestle from our future the promises God has made to those who will choose to honor Him. My prayer is that you will discover many of these promises and you will see how they are tied to the choices you make. The best planning begins in the end with the end in mind. I said that before, but it's true. So if you desire a vibrant relationship with the Lord and a future of joy and fulfillment, plan for today by making excellent choices. So in closing, and don't get your hopes up because I'm only half done. Please don't miss this truth. If you want a strong walk with God, and if you want to claim the incredible promises of God, the journey starts today. I know there's some of you that are walking with the Lord. A lot of you I don't know. I don't know your hearts. And I don't preach to anybody. I preach to myself. So if you're convicted today, I don't know your situation. You know what? You need to deal with the Lord and the Holy Spirit with that. I don't preach at folks. I have enough problems keeping track of myself. The quality of our walk with God and the landscape of your future are determined by the choices you make. Actually, the choices you make right now. Unfortunately, we say no to God, to a lot of things. We hear the word, but we just say, I will not obey. And we make up all kinds of excuses why we should, why that should be okay with God. God, I'm not going to obey today, and this is the reasons I feel I don't have to do it, unfortunately. Some say, no, Lord, I will not be baptized. Some say, no, Lord, to church membership. Some say, no, Lord, I'm not going to church today, even though I could. I just don't want to. Some say, no, Lord, to reading my Bible today. Lord, you know I'm too busy. You understand, right? Some say, no, Lord, to serving in the church. We're just too busy. You know, Lord, right? Some say, no, Lord, I won't stop watching pornography. Some say, no, Lord, to drunkenness. Some say, no, Lord, I won't stop smoking. Some say, no, Lord, to swearing. Everyone does it, right? Some say, no, Lord, I will not say I'm sorry to someone I have hurt. Some say, no, Lord, I will not forgive that person who has hurt me. I will not. I've said that, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. But the worst thing some people say is, no, Lord, I will not receive you as my Savior. No, Lord, no, Lord, no, Lord, I will not obey. That's what you're saying, folks, when you hear God's word, the Lord speaks to you, and you walk out those doors, and you don't do anything about it. It's exactly what we're doing. I've done it myself, and I'm ashamed to say. And you know what? We make all kinds of excuses why we refuse to obey the Lord. So we can just feel justified until we can forget. But unfortunately, folks, God never forgets. He doesn't. And he loves us. And he wants us on the path that he wants us on. Do you wonder why your spiritual life is bland? And there's no power in your spiritual life? It's because you have sin in your life. Maybe hidden sin, sin you've forgotten about. You know, folks, I was 53 years old before I made a choice to follow the Lord 100%. I'm ashamed to say this, but you know what? I hope it helps someone here or someone listening to my voice to not make the same mistakes I have made. Understand, for 35 years, I taught Sunday school, I taught college-age classes, I taught adult classes, I was a deacon for many of those years, I taught Bible studies, I served in the church faithfully, I did the whole nine yards. But you know what? To be honest, I wasn't on the path the Lord wanted me on. I had made some bad choices, and I was saying no to the Lord. Do you know what it took for me to start saying yes? Sitting across from the doctor and having him tell you that I had cancer. It really hit home with me when the doctor asked Gene and I to go into his office. You know what? When the doctor asks you to go into his office, he's not going to show you his family pictures, and he's not going to show you his vacation pictures. He showed us my first PET scan. I got a picture of it, this picture right here. When I asked the nurse for this, she said I was crazy. She said, no one's ever asked for a picture like this. But this picture I have in my office at home, this picture reminds me of the commitment I made to the Lord. And I did it just after that picture was taken. In that picture, you can't see it, but I'm holding it up here. If you want to look at it later, that's fine. It's kind of gross. You can see my lungs. You can see my bladder, kidneys, and brain. Yes, Pastor Hendricks, I have a brain. He's texting already to my phone in my office. All the other black is cancer. It's all on my neck, all down through my neck, in my chest, in my groin area, just full of cancer. And I said, as I was standing in the office under my breath, I was like, whoa, I need help. I need God's help. I was mad for a little while. Then I felt sorry for myself. Then the Holy Spirit showed me through God's Word that I needed to get serious about things of the Lord. So I prayed to the Lord, and He told me that I was, wrong in doing the things my way, that I had made some bad choices, and that I wanted to do it His way. That's what I told the Lord. And I asked for forgiveness for the bad choices that I have made. You know, folks, if you're honest with God and you really want to be on God's path, if you ask Him, He'll show you. But then you need to be willing to deal with it. And I was. I vowed to Him. You know what? I had vowed many times before in my life, and I barely ever kept my vows. I'm ashamed to say. God understands, right? No. Because at every time I vowed, the Lord brought it to my mind, and I had to get it right. But I vowed to Him that I would do from now on everything He asked me, everything He showed me from His Word, I would do. I vowed that. Someone said, "Oh, you bartered with God." No, I didn't. I did not. There was no, "You do, God, and then I will do." I did not do that. I was serious. I made a determined choice, like Joseph did, that I wanted the rest of my life, no matter how long it would be, I didn't know, to count for the Lord. I wanted to do what He wanted me to do. And praise the Lord for that. I felt so much better. And there was a lot of things I needed to get right, and I did. So from then on, everything went great, right? People teach that. People say, you know, you're doing what God wants you to do, your life's going to be wonderful. Well, you know what? I did see God's blessing in my life. I really, and I still do. January 19th, they did another PET scan. That's the picture next to it. And the cancer was almost all gone. Praise the Lord, eh? I was thrilled. We needed wood, and I've told you this story several times. We needed wood to heat our house, and there's no way that I could do it. So I put the test to the Lord. He says He will supply all our needs, right? Well, He did. I committed the problem to Him. I didn't tell anybody, not even Jean. I never said anything to her because it was really a burden on my heart. 3 weeks, our lean-to was filled with wood, 7 cords. It's a lot of wood. I'm not talking about a little truckload. We burn 7 cords of wood every year. And you know what? In the 8 years since then, I have not wanted for wood. I have not. The Lord has provided that every year. This year, He used Warren Griffin and Jim Schuyler to provide us our wood. And I thank Him for that. You know, shortly after I made this commitment to the Lord, the American Cancer Society gave us $5,000 to help pay our bills. That was amazing. Praise the Lord. Then in August, when I was done with my treatment, in August, I got another PET scan, thinking the cancer would be gone and we would be back to normal. Well, that's not true. They found out that I had another cancer, very rare and aggressive. I was disappointed, to say the least, but I was determined to serve the Lord through it all. I made a vow, and I was going to keep it. We passed out tracts and daily breads, and we witnessed to when the Lord gave us opportunity to do so. I want to share one thing with you. I was laying up in the hospital after they had killed my immune system. I was wondering if I was going to die. They told me I really probably will. And I fell asleep, which I didn't have much sleep at the time because I was on medication that didn't let you sleep. But I fell asleep at night. But in my room, I had on my radio. And at night, I turned on VCY and I just let it run. Because I wake up, they'd play music, you know, hymns, and they'd read scripture and poems. And I loved that. But that night I woke up and there was a black lady sitting in Jean's chair right by my head. And I woke up and there she was. And I went, "Oh," and she was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She said, "I'm sorry." She said, "I was cleaning your bathroom and I was listening to Unshackled." And she said, "I wanted to hear how it ended." Isn't that cool? So even my radio was witnessing. She came back the next night and wanted me to show her, put an app on her phone so she could read her Bible during the break. So I put an app on her phone for her, and I put the daily bread on there for her and showed her how to use it. So I thought that was kind of cool. That's one thing that I thought was really neat. But this cancer brought me through a horrible treatment ending with a stem cell transplant. It actually brought me to death's door. But I can honestly say that I was ready to meet the Lord. But the Lord brought me out of this. As you can see, I'm standing here. The whole time, actually through this whole time, the Lord was showing me that there was more that he wanted me to do. I wasn't sure where he was going to lead, but I promised I would do what he wanted me to do. Actually, you know what? I thought he wanted me to be a chaplain. And I was actually pursuing being a chaplain in a hospital, and I was actually pursuing being a chaplain in the prison system. I was. And I thought, wow, Lord, maybe this is cool. Maybe that's what you want me to do. Everything went right after that, right? Everything was great. No. My first day back at work, I was thrilled to go back to work. My boss asked me up to his office. Instead of welcoming me back, he said that there was no place for me anymore in this organization. I didn't understand because 2 months before I was diagnosed with cancer, I had a review and he told me he wished he had 10 people like me. He said, Ron, I wish I had 10 people like you. And then like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months later, it had no place for me. Interesting, eh? He told me I didn't fit under their umbrella anymore. I actually went down to my office and I cried. I felt really bad about that. 30 years of the best years of my life down the tubes. When I was done feeling sorry for myself, the Lord impressed on me. He really did. In my head, it's like, he was like, Ron, I showed you, you big moron, that I want you to do something different. And you will never quit this job on your own. I wouldn't have. I love that job. And I'm ashamed to say I probably love that job more than I love the Lord. I love that job. You know what? It didn't end there. They were really mean to me. I think they wanted me to quit. I think they were hoping that I would quit. Not too long, they demoted me. They demoted me to custodian. I was a master printer, and now I'm a custodian. And they sent me out to another building to clean toilets. I worked by myself in a building cleaning toilets. And you know what? I did that as under the Lord. I listened to Christian music while I did that, and you know what? I really didn't mind doing that at all. I had trouble forgiving my boss, though, because he was very mean to me. And I said no to the Lord about that for a while. But I had to get that out of my heart as well. Shortly after that, it wasn't just a few months, they eliminated the job. They told me I didn't have a job at all anymore. I was done. But I think my boss was feeling kind of guilty about that because they gave me a check with some money. And that's what I used to pave my driveway. Praise the Lord, eh? My boss that was under this guy said that they had never done that ever. But apparently they might have been feeling guilty about that. But I didn't really care. I really didn't. Because you know what the Lord wanted me to do? Right here. I was surprised. I would have never picked this in all my years. I would have not. Serving the Lord at Grace Bible Church. As I look back, I've made 3 very wise choices. The first, accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was 10 years old, and the Holy Spirit convicted me right to my core, and I received him as my Savior that day. The third wisest choice, don't tell Jean, but it was marrying her. That was one of the smartest things I ever did. You know, that girl can really shove her topsoil. She really can. She's a hard worker. She really is. Praise the Lord for her. The second wisest choice was to follow the Lord with all my heart and to obey him. I'm not bragging. I still mess up, folks. But I'm quick to get it right with the Lord. When the Holy Spirit shows me, I get it right away. Maybe, let me ask you this morning, are you living with sin in your life? Maybe sin you have covered up, maybe forgot about. Is there something that you are saying, no, God, I will not? Is there? What is it going to take to get you to start saying yes? To start obeying Him and getting on the right path? You may need to get with God alone and get things right with Him. You know what? He is faithful. He will forgive you and He will restore you. He put me on a shelf for 1 year, and that year I studied God's word from cover to cover, verse by verse, and the Lord helped me to grow, and He showed me what He wanted me to do with my life, and I thank Him for that. He will forgive you, and He will restore you. He will help you get on the right path for your life. I pray that you will determine that you want to allow your choices to be guided by God's word and the Holy Spirit. We all make many choices daily. We might as well determine to make good ones. The outcomes we desire are determined as we choose excellence today. You know, it all boils down, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that each one of us will study your word, Lord, and look to you, Lord, and help us with the choices that we make. And I pray, Lord, if we've made some bad ones, I pray, Lord, that you'd show us how we can correct that. And if we've sinned, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get that right in our hearts. I know, Lord, you'll forgive us, and I know, Lord, you'll restore us. You're faithful and just. It's just that we got to swallow our pride, Lord, and ask for forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that we'll stop saying no, but I will say yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.